New World Screwworm, what to be looking for. The best of the best livestock auctioneers are getting ready for the World Championship and lots more. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, the American Gelve Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station.
Cattle Battle.
We have been reporting on New World Screwworm for the past couple of years. Updates, USDA contingency plans, locations, and proximity to the U.S. border. Well, as we all know and probably assumed, it was just a matter of time until New World Screwworm found its way into the lower 48. And for the most part, this is a manageable pest. We just need to know what to watch for on livestock and pets, for that matter. And it's most important to remember and be aware of that this is a production issue, not a food safety issue. To help us better understand New World Screwworm and what to look for, we bring in Dr. M. Wayne Ayers. He's our fly guy, a technical consultant veterinarian with Elanco Animal Health. Hey, Doc, it's great to have you back on the program. Let's first start with the harvesting process and how federal inspection deals with potentially infected animals to ensure that our food supply is the safest in the world.
All the way along the whole system, that's probably the biggest point that we're going to have to do is look at our livestock a little more often now that we have the screwworm here in the state. You know, some of these large ranches, your animals are out on pasture and you might see them once a month, but we probably need to look at them once a week at this point. Because the sooner we treat these, if we get a case, the quicker they can heal and the less likely then that we have excess damage to tissue that's going to have to be trimmed when they go to harvest. Animals will be looked at, you know, before they get shipped. They all get inspected at the processing facilities. There's an antemortem check. So before they go to the knock box, federal veterinarians look at them, inspect them. They will be looking for wounds, anything like that. And then if there is a healed wound, those sometimes have to be trimmed, but there is no food safety issue with an animal having had a infection or infestation. It's just a matter of, did it get treated timely enough so that there's not as much scar tissue that we have to worry about? They're going to be looking for active infections in cases as well, but I don't think we're going to see very many show up at that point because they will have had several inspections before they get to the harvest facility.
Now, when you say we should be checking cattle once a week versus once a month, what should we be looking for?
Sometimes they can be, you know, grossly obvious. If you have a case that an animal, you know, maybe got a wound on the side and then the wounds get bigger. So they can start with something as small as a horn fly bite, a tick bite, an injection. Where we've all given an injection to an animal and had that little drop of blood come back, that is a potential site for this fly to replicate. And her larva then feed on live flesh. So they go in that tiny little hole, but then because they're feeding on the flesh, they end up with a much bigger wound. So it can be, that would be the obvious, you know, here's this wound the size of your fist. And you say, oh, you know, now that one becomes obvious. But some of these animals, this may be lethargic. They just may be, kind of off by themselves. Just a nondescript. And then you get him, take a good closer look at him and you find that they have something else. Like an umbilical infestation, like the two calves that we have, that's what happened on those. They were young calves. The umbilicus is a target for any, newborn animal of doesn't matter the species. That umbilicus is a target because it's, you know, fresh live flesh, and the female can layer eggs, and then they crawl up into that abdomen. And those, unfortunately, sometimes those calves, they can succumb to that because it's right there, but next to their belly, and those larvae eat their way in. So it can be fairly nondescript, just not doing well, standing there, depressed, And then you, on closer inspection, you find something like the umbilical infection. The female, just the normal minor trauma that happens to the birth canal is a very common sight for females as well. So we have to kind of pay attention to that as well as if you, you know, if we pull a calf or something and we know we've got some minor vulvar tears, or trauma, then we probably need to spray those. So we need to treat those newborn calves. If we're in the, you know, infestation zone, we're going to have to treat those calves at birth, goat kids, lambs, everything, just to make sure that to try and avoid having those infestations.
And is that kind of just a real simple preventative, is just treat those animals immediately?
Yeah, so there's several different ways, and there's going to be some protocols. You've seen some of the macrocyclic lactones, the ivermectin and doramectin, are both have gotten emergency use authorizations for screwworm. And we also have other products that are already fully approved here in the U.S., like Catron 4 that we have at Elanco, and it's a screwworm spray. And so you can spray the navel as well. You can spray castration sites, ear tag sites. We have to think about that. Dehorning, how far do I dehorn? If we just take the tips off, but if we go a full dehorn, we have to spray them with those screwworm sprays in order to keep that fly at bay.
So as nasty as the screwworm is, it sounds like very treatable situation that we can get it under control relatively easy per se. Am I correct in saying that, Doc?
Yeah, no, that's very much so. And you know, it is kind of a scary thing. We're two generations away from when we had it here endemically. You know, so gray-haired folks like me may have been around when our fathers were dealing with it. But you know, we drove it out of this country 70s, basically. We've had a couple of incursions since, but basically in the 70s, took us 15 years to get rid of it the first time. But it's very survivable if we just make some of these changes, put some thought into it. So the biggest thing that people can do is educate themselves, get good education. Social media is not the place to get education.
Mm-hmm.
Screwworm.gov, that is the place to go. It's the USDA's official website. USDA, FDA, and EPA are all putting information on that website, screwworm.gov. There is information there on all aspects of this, about treating the life cycle, what treatments are available. There's a dashboard there that gives you the current cases, so you can see where the infestation zone is and then the surveillance zone. So, and then there's information about cattle movement or animal movement in and out of those kind of places. It's all in there. And once you kind of understand, or the more you understand about the fly itself, the life cycle, survivability, it becomes less scary. In these endemic areas, it's about a 3% infestation rate if we take some of these precautions. So, you know, it's not like every animal's going to get it, but we do need to take some precautions. You know, we need to think about, can I band castrate at birth instead of open castrating at brand time? Because that changes the dynamics. I will have to take these calves for the most part and try and catch, you know, see calves at birth and maybe treat them either spray or with the, you know, with the ivermectin, doramectin protocol. You know, I do need to think about ear tagging and giving injections and spraying those sites. We need to just institute a good fly and tick protocol. We need to use the technologies that we have here just to help reduce the number of bites or potential sites that screwworm can exploit. So if we have, you know, ear tags, we have oilers and back rubs out there, things that you and I have talked about before on previous episodes about just fly control in general. Those fly and tick control will help reduce the incidence of it. So, and then we just find them. We know what the protocols are. We understand. We go ahead and report these to our veterinarian. Our veterinarian takes the samples, and it turns out to be a positive case. That opens the door from the USDA that then help also with some of the other emergency use products that may be available via the USDA. So, it's very important that we, you know, that we're open and honest about this and we talk about it. There's nothing to hide. You know, if you do suspect a case, it's all a positive. And the more that we just, I think, just discuss this in general, the better it's going to be. The key to this whole thing is education. So I encourage everybody across the country and all the way to the border, Canadian borders, to understand it. And once we understand it, then it's less scary. That whole environmental concern, that fly lives in a very narrow temperature range. It doesn't like it below 65 degrees, and it really prefers not to be, 105 either. So, and it needs a certain amount of moisture. So there is, the more we learn about it, that's what I would leave with your listeners, is that go educate yourself, go to screwworm.gov. Texas Animal Health Commission also has a really good website. Florida Department of Animal Health, they have a really good website. Look at those credible type sources and get as much information as you can.
And I'm going to add in there, have conversations with your veterinarian in regards to various different products that have had emergency authorization to be used to help with this, to visit with them. But then also, while you're on top of that, visit with them about putting in some sort of a fly and tick control program within your operation. It's just good to talk with your veterinarian about all this stuff to find out what's the best option for you.
100%. I agree with you completely that we need to make sure you do have these conversations with your local veterinarian, and because they're going to be kept abreast. We all get messages both from USDA and from our state vet's offices about what's going on. We kind of get kept abreast of what the latest is, but we also have full access to a lot of these products. So both from the, if there would get a case, you're going to have some of the emergency stuff. But then just the general products that are available on the shelf that we can use for good tick control, fly control. It'll make you money in the long run anyway, whether you have screwworms or not.
Dr. M. Wayne Ayers with Elanco Animal Health, always a pleasure. This one was extremely helpful to all of us who own livestock and own pets. The website, again, is screwworm.gov, screwworm.gov. And as Dr. Ayers mentioned, there have been emergency authorization of various different products, but make sure to bring your vet into that particular conversation. And I know we went a tick long here, but again, very, very good, helpful information. All right, coming up after the break, the best of the best auctioneers muster to compete for the world championship. We have a preview here on the Ranch It Up Radio Show, and we'll be right back. Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Well, look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Corn Belt Classic is coming up June 16th through the 18th, followed by the Week in the Rockies sale. To consign to the Week in the Rockies sale, cattle need to be cataloged by June 19th and videos need to be submitted by June 26th. Again, June 19th for the catalog and June 26th for the videos to consign to the Week in the Rockies sale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
One of the most satisfying sounds has got to be the hum and chug of the auctioneer's chant. And if you're like us, sitting in a sale barn watching draft after draft of cattle sell is ever so peaceful. Really, though, the auctioneer is a vital part of the buying and selling process. Within just a few seconds, he or she must represent your cattle to the public and facilitate in capturing the highest possible price. Every year around this time, the best of the best livestock auctioneers gather where only one is named world champion. This year, the host market is St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. Owner and operator Justin Tupper joins us today to talk briefly about the competition. Plus, we'll get into some more immediate pressing issues. Hey, Justin, welcome back to the show. St. Ange Livestock is the host facility of the 2026 LMA Convention and the World Livestock Auctioneering Championship. Got to be awful darn exciting for you to be kind of at your home base to be able to witness the best of the best.
Yeah, for sure. It is been a long time in the making, and we're excited to bring the best auctioneers in the country here to compete for a world title, and also welcome all the my peers and the auction barns from all across the country here for the convention.
So how does one go about qualifying if you are a livestock auctioneer? What are the requirements for you to be able to get to a point where you could actually compete in the world championship?
Yeah, there's three qualifying events throughout the year ahead of the auction contest. And if they place in the top 10 at those three, you automatically make it. The Canadian champion also gets an automatic bid, so that brings it to 31.
And you need to be an auctioneer at a sale barn, correct?
Yep. To get into the qualifying events, you have to be sponsored by an auction market to compete at those. And they have about 30 to 40 contestants at least at each of those events. So it's pretty competitive.
And it's not just on an auctioneer's ability to chant and sell livestock. I know they have an interview competition and different things like that that all have weight to selecting the world champion, right?
Very much so. And I think that is maybe as important as the auctioneering. You know, that auctioneer at any of these barns across the country, he is our voice, and he's who's going to represent your cattle and our industry at different events. So a big part of the whole thing is the interview process, and having knowledge of the industry and being able to work in the industry and is a huge part of the championship.
Need to move on to the present right now, and let's talk New World Screwworm. Now, I know that for those people that are in the northern part of the country, not as much of a risk, but there is that risk in terms of transporting cattle from the south to that may enter areas into the north. So I'm just curious, as a sale barn auction, or excuse me, as a sale barn owner and auctioneer, I guess in this case, just kind of your view on New World Screwworm, on the markets, kind of how this whole thing is playing out. I'm just kind of curious about what your take is and what you're seeing and not seeing.
Well, I think first and foremost that you and all the people that work in the public and have been doing a great job of informing the consumers that it has nothing to do with the meat. This is a producer problem. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with anything that happens to them but through the slaughter process. But it is going to be a big problem for producers. We've seen this before, like you had mentioned, in the 60s, and we did get it eradicated. Hopefully, our technologies and the tools that we have, and we've had a year and a half, almost 2 years, to prepare for it, knowing that it was in Mexico at our southern border. And it wasn't, in my mind, if it was when it got here, because there's no wall there. There's no way we can permanently keep it out. But I think that there has been a lot of work done ahead of time. You know, we've heard about the sterile flies, and I think there's some fly baits that have some great potential. I think we have a good plan in place, not saying that it isn't going to have some impacts. One of those things that we don't have huge numbers of cows. We're in the lowest numbers since the 1960s, and this is not going to put more cows in place. This is going to cause us problems and probably retention, maybe even smaller in some places in the South. So I think it's going to have impact, but I think as an industry, we're prepared, and we'll just have to see where it takes us.
Justin Tupper, owner and manager of St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. We have the direct link to the past champions going all the way back to 1963, where you can listen to their chants in the show notes for this episode at ranchitupshow.com. The best of the best livestock auctioneers at the Livestock Marketing Association Annual Convention and the World Livestock Auctioneer Championship. Crew, go nowhere. The Ranch It Up Radio Show will be back right after this. Keep it parked.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House, and download the Livestock Market mobile app today. Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7-pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work. Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. That time in the program, we check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, recapping the markets from the previous week. So, Kirk, numbers, what do you got for us today, my friend?
Good morning, Tigger, and all your listeners out there. As of Friday, June 5th, we did have 4 confirmed cases of the New World screwworm. I think we'll hit on that a little bit later. As for the futures market, August feeder futures closed the week at 353.72.5. That's up 4.80 on the week, with the CME feeder index down $12.02 at 361.38. The combination narrowed the basis to a more normal positive $7.65.5. Keep in mind that basis was about $24 before the big moves on the screwworm. August live cattle closed the week at 241.62.5. That's up 242.5 on the week, with cash trading 255 early and then 258 late Friday in Kansas. That left the 5-area weighted average up 38 cents at 256.38, and it was a very good test of 14,066 head. Weekly slaughter was 533,000. That's 85,000 head above last week, but last week was a holiday shortened week, and 48,000 head below the same week last year. The 48,000 head below last year is the number that has got me concerned, especially when we come to the next cattle on feed. I'm very concerned that we continue to place more, even though it's a small number. We're placing more than we are killing. Dress weights were up 1 pound to 901, which is 38 pounds above last year. The combination left yearly production up 0.1% at 6.5% less than this week last year. Fresh beef imports were 12% higher than last year, with Brazil 17% higher and Mexico 23% higher. Again, showing that all the cattle that aren't walking across the border are coming across the border in a box. To wrap this up, December corn closed the week at 446.75. That's down 28 cents. Fund liquidation has definitely been hammering this market, creating pretty significant selling pressure in the corn market.
So before we say fare thee well, I'm going to ask you your opinion on this whole New World screwworm deal. Last week, I think a lot of people were surprised when the markets opened Thursday and Friday. They were up. Everybody expected the markets to be down. So what are your thoughts going forward as more cases start to become public that New World screwworm has been found here and found there? What's your thoughts kind of going forward in this cattle market?
I think the first thing I want to do is divide that into two conversations, if you'll let me, Tigger.
Yep, absolutely.
The first one being a cowboy. I absolutely want to recognize the significance of the screwworm to the ranches that have to deal with this, both in time and cost, animal welfare, and all the things. Relative to the cowboy itself, this is a very big deal. If we switch our train of thought now to the markets, I'm having kind of a hard time digesting what that means to the markets. My gut is it's kind of neutral. I don't know that it's going to be a huge driver. I think there's some potential to be huge drivers, although I think that potential is unlikely. It is very treatable. You do have a withdrawal period, which is going to potentially bog the system down a little bit. On the flip side to that, obviously we're already seeing some travel restrictions between the states. Montana was one of the first ones to announce that I saw anyway, and then of course followed by Canada. Losing Canada for the northern states would be incredibly bearish. However, I think it's very unlikely that the screwworm would advance far enough north to threaten the northern states' export of live animals to Canada. So I guess long way around the barn, I don't really know if it has a, is the big driver in the markets. I mean, I'd say the markets are a little confused there also. Obviously, a big up day on Thursday, the day the first case was announced, and then weaker since then. I'm kind of the opinion Thursday was more about narrowing the basis. You know, the basis was very wide, or the difference between futures and cash, than it was about the screw worm itself. And I think that's supported by Friday's action, which got pretty close to cash and then fell back on the close.
And I agree with you that this is just kind of a hard one to get your mind around of formulating an opinion one way or the other, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into this.
Absolutely. On the broader economy for those areas, you know, we might not even be talking about the big issue. You know, what does it do to travel for humans and their pets?
Mm-hmm. Right,
The last case close to New Mexico being a dog.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Dr. M. Wayne Ayers with Elanco Animal Health, Justin Tupper with St. Ange Livestock, Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, and Shea Wanner with Casual Cattle Conversations. A big shout out to our partners for today's episode, the American Gelve Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is RanchItUpShow@gmail.com. You can call and text 24/7, that phone number, 707-RANCH-20, that's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week, where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.